in to Naturopathic Earth Radio with certified health consultant and former obese child, A. Gregory Luna, where you get the latest on clean living, natural remedies, effective weight loss tips, and sound naturopathic principles from experts and biohackers from around the world and Gregory himself. Don't be a slave to Big Pharma. Break free of the shackles of Big Food and start your journey now to a long, vibrant, purposeful life. Become a citizen of Naturopathic Earth.
Hey everybody, this is Gregory Luna, back for another episode of Naturopathic Earth Radio, or NPE Radio. I hope you're doing well. If any of you have ever listened to my Confessions of an Obese Child, you know sometimes I like to sing Confessions of an Obese Child, listen up. I was in choir recently. You know, I was in choir in middle school, back in my old middle school Catholic days, but I never learned how to read music. And then I thought it would be a good idea to join my church choir last year, even though I didn't sing in any type of choir for like 20-something years. It was just only in that one-year period in middle school. But I thought it'd be fun to join. And I can carry a tune. Apparently, I'm like a baritone. But the problem is I can't read music. I never learned how to read music. And I thought, well, maybe I can just wing it. Yeah, you can't wing it. So when you're part of a choir, apparently you sing in parts, which is something I really didn't know about and I didn't remember from my middle school days. And I didn't know when to go up or down or to hold it. I didn't know any of the terminology. So I asked the other baritone that was in the group, Wally. I asked him, he's this old guy. And after being in the choir for 9 months, I was like, Wally, how often am I in pitch? And, you know, for the practice and then singing on Sunday church. And he was like, Albert. And then just silence the whole time. And I just started laughing. He's like, never. And I was like, all right, well, I guess that's my cue. So anyways, that is my choir story. So I do like to sing. I like to sing in the car, even though I listen to a lot of podcasts now. But sometimes I'll put on my Google Play and listen to my 80s new wave. I like a lot of singer-songwriter music like Tori Amos and Sarah McLachlan and Norah Jones and Ingrid Michaelson, that kind of music. And of course, I still love classic rock. There was an old joke I told Kate one time. I said, the way guys judge themselves is on three criteria. So one is your knowledge on sports. So like when two strangers walk up to each other, two guys, they'll be like, what up, what up? And then if they have nothing to talk about, they always go to the three things they can talk about. Three universal commonalities that all men have. Most men, if they're like real manly. One is sports, right? That's a go-to for guys. You got to talk about sports. You know, so what do you think about this? You know, what do you think about the Rockets? You know, what do you think about the Patriots? Who's your team? Because we can talk about that forever because men really don't like to talk. Number two is girls. Of course, we'll talk about women. Like, you know, who do you like? Or, you know, what's your favorite part of a lady? Or, you know, what do you think of... I don't know, who's a young, attractive, Miranda Kerr, Emma Stone, Scarlett Johansson. So that's another thing that men can talk about ad nauseum for a long time. And the other thing is classic rock. You know, most guys have to have like a basic knowledge of classic rock. And when I mean classic rock, I don't mean like grunge. Okay, so I know I am showing my age, but to me, classic rock is late 60s to the 70s to, you know, probably Guns N' Roses, probably the last great rock band of all time. Yeah, and I'm not going to count Coldplay or U2, albeit they have some good songs. I'd probably say GNR, the last great rock band. So just a couple of side notes to get off topic. So today we're going to talk about 8 great non-exercise biohacks to speed up your metabolism and weight. And this is important because I have used all of these to keep my weight off now for over 25 years, and they're all really, really, really easy. And in the article that I wrote for this a couple of days ago, I mentioned the story of the tortoise and the hare. And we all know the story of the tortoise and the hare, right? The rabbit or the hare challenges, oh no, I'm sorry, the tortoise challenges the rabbit to a race. And of course, the rabbit laughs or whatever. And then the fox is the judge. And then they do the race. And the rabbit takes a big, big lead and then takes a nap because he becomes complacent. And he thinks, well, I'm going to win. And of course, during the nap, he sleeps too long. And the turtle, nice and slow, ends up passing him. And then... The hare wakes up and realizes that the turtle has passed him up, and he tries to run as fast as he can, but the turtle makes it and wins. And so, of course, we all know the story of what the parable is, or what the takeaway is, and it's slow and steady wins the race. So you can apply that to weight loss and maintaining a fast metabolism. It's not necessarily about going to the gym every day and running 6 miles a day or doing CrossFit 4 times a week. You will burn out, your adrenals will burn out, and you'll actually gain weight. You're essentially putting your body in a perpetual state of inflammation. This is why marathon running is largely debunked now. And I mean, there's a lot of places, of course, you can go to any website and find out what you want to hear. So there are a lot of marathon runner junkies, especially middle-aged men, are feeling their pangs of mortality that they feel like they need to show that they're still young, and that's why they engage in marathon running. But if you go to legitimate science, and if you go to like Chris Kresser, for example, or Mark Sisson, these guys, they'll talk to you and tell you that marathon running is bad for you and working out every day. So, and Mark Sisson used to be a marathon runner. He was a triathlete, I think. If you go to Mark's Daily Apple and all that, he'll talk to you, or he'll tell you that he used to be a marathon runner. So a lot of people who are in the kind of the clean eating paleo world were former either trainers or marathon runners. And I was, of course, far from that. And, you know, I'm primal certified. And of course, I had the opposite. If you listen to Confessions of an Obese Child, you'll know that I was totally not healthy at all. But today we're just going to mention a couple of quick biohacks on ways you can speed up your metabolism throughout the day. Now, a couple of these are a little peculiar, and I might execute a couple of these while we're doing this podcast, but they work, okay? Keeping your weight off is much, much harder than losing the weight. It is. And so one of the ways that you can keep your weight off is doing these little biohacks. So number one, before we get to number one, of course, you can find me at naturopathic_earth on Instagram. If you want to know the way I look and the way I talk, I post a video at least once a day on some biohack or something that I'm doing, or I'm advertising for these podcasts or some blog I wrote. And then you can find me on Twitter and Facebook at naturopathearth, so without the ick. So Instagram is naturopathic_earth, and the other two are just naturopathearth. Subscribe on the website to get into that raffle for an essential oil blend that Kate will make. So, number one, take a morning walk. If you follow my Instagram account, you'll know that I post a lot when I'm walking in the morning. So honestly, nothing's really as refreshing as taking a nice, relaxing 15 to 20 minute walk at the crack of dawn. It's just so great because the sun's coming up, you hear the birds chirping, it's nice and cold in most places in the morning. And it's just nice. You don't have to be walking too fast. It's a nice kind of brisk walk, maybe a 15-minute walk, 15-minute mile walk, just to get blood pumping to your organs, just to help with metabolism, and just to get enough blood getting to your brain to improve your cognition throughout the day. You know, one of the reasons that exercise is good for you is because it increases blood flow to your organ and to your brain, so it makes them work better, optimally better, in addition to, of course, all the cardiovascular benefits. So put on some relaxing music, or you can listen to some kind of like pumped up music more, or listen to a podcast, or listen to the sounds of nature as you just ruminate over some like existential topics like, I don't know, what's the meaning of life? Why does God allow suffering? Just take a nice walk in the morning. If you can't walk in the morning because you're worried about getting stuck in traffic and getting late to work, or you want to beat the morning traffic, then drive to work and then walk there. What I've done for now 5 years at least, as I've been teaching, I used to work in the medical field, and I have to mention this in another podcast, kind of like my overall background, but I've been teaching now for, half dozen years, the nutritional medical classes at a high school, and I'll drive there and get there early and just walk on the school track and just walk a mile or maybe a mile and a half. And it's nice. You listen to some music, and I'll see the athletes training, either the football or soccer, depending on what time of the year it is, and I just love it. Another takeaway is don't sacrifice sleep for a walk, okay? Don't be waking up at 5 a.m. to get a walk in or even a run. Now, I used to do this, honestly. I mean, back in my calorie in, calorie out days of running a lot or working out a lot, I would wake up at 5 a.m. and get a run in, you know, to speed up the metabolism and just to get my workout in, because I believe that, like a lot of people believe that you have to be working out every day, right? I remember in college, right after I lost my weight, I literally like would work out 28 days in a row. I'd have it on my calendar, 28 days a row of doing 5 mile runs, you know, and if I missed a day, I'd be panicking. And now at 43, and again, listen to Sisson will tell you the same thing. It's like you do some resistance training a couple of times a week, just but no longer than 30 minutes, but heavy lifting, just outbursts like CrossFit, just heavy outbursts of lifting, sprint maybe once a week, and then do a lot of movement. So sleep as much as you can, and then try to, you know, wake up at 6:30, 7 o'clock, and then do a quick 20-minute walk. That's great. Another thing, number two, is drink lemon water. Lemon water is great. The Indians have been doing this since the beginning of time to clean out the liver. And Lord knows our livers need cleaning because of all the crap that we eat. And that's just not the standard American diet, people, or the hoi polloi, but all of us, you know, could eat better. But aside from the nice ancillary benefit of cleaning out your liver, lemon water actually speeds up your metabolism. So try to drink 30 minutes before you eat breakfast or before you have your first meal. So if you're fasting, try to drink it 30 minutes beforehand. Same thing can be applied to apple cider vinegar too. Good way to clean out the liver before you eat your first meal. Another thing is you can drink some warm lemon water before you go to bed too. Ideally, drink it warm, not too hot. You know, I've warmed up my water in the microwave, and then it's like scaldingly hot, and then you put in the lemon, you can't even drink it. So kind of like your tea, you know, warm. You can drink it cold too, but ideally drink it warm. So that's another easy one you can do. So after your little walk, come home, drink some lemon water. You can mix it with your green tea too, because teas speed up your metabolism as well. You know, the green and the whites and the blacks. The greens, the whites, and the blacks. The greens, the whites, and the blacks. Number three. Sit as little as possible at work. So sitting is the new smoking. You might have heard that expression. Who knows if it's true, but we know the studies show that being in a sedentary manner throughout the day is extremely bad for your health. Now, studies are coming out as fast as social media tweets are being tweeted out by the Kardashians, showing how bad it is for you to be sedentary. And think about a typical day, right? We wake up, we sit in the car, then we go to work, we sit there. Then we come home, we eat, and then we sit and watch TV. That's pretty much our day. Now, again, there are a lot of us that work out, you know, go in the afternoon, you do your little daily workout, but there are a lot of studies showing that that is not sufficient. That is not sufficient. Doing a little 30-minute exercise or even your 5-mile walk. We need to be moving throughout the day. Now, most of us don't have a place where we have walking treadmills or standing upright desks. So a lot of those like tree eating or tree hugging, very lefty California types like Silicon Valley, those type of places, Google, if you ever go to those kind of companies or see how they run, you know, the ones that have like slides inside and all these cool things. Now, those kind of places are going to have upright desks or treadmill desks, but typically we don't. So I'm going to give you a couple of biohacks that you can do. And again, these kind of sound kind of stupid, some of them, but do them. So number one is stand up every 15 minutes. Okay, stand up every 15 minutes. If you're sitting at the desk, especially if you have like a cubicle job from like Office Space or some movie like that, just stand up. Just standing up gets the blood moving. Okay. About every hour or so, just take a walk around the office. Do your little 5-minute quote unquote bathroom break, or maybe go to the bathroom and then go outside. Just do a quick walk, get some fresh air. Just walk around every hour. Again, it's all about getting the blood flowing. If you are an executive, if you have a lot of meetings, maybe do a standing meeting or a walking meeting. Why do we have this idea that we need to be sitting for meetings? It makes no sense. Now, I mean, if you have to be typing on the computer or if there's some presentation that needs some sort of multimedia thing, I get it. But if it's just like a couple people meeting for a meeting, why not go outside and do a walk and have a walking meeting and get the blood pumping? You'll probably be more creative, if anything. Another one is walk up your stairwell every hour or so. I remember I used to do this when I used to work at an immigration company. And I'd round up everybody in the office. And the office was small, maybe 10, 15 people. But like every hour or so, we go out to the stairwell and do like 5 flights of stairs. And it would just feel good. You know, you don't have to do it like every hour, but maybe twice a day. Just for your little bathroom break, if you don't want to walk around, just do a quick flight up the stairs, like sprint up the stairs. Do like 9 flights if you live in an office that's got 9 flights. Another one is, and I'm going to do this right now, every couple of hours, drop to the ground and do a set of push-ups, planks, or even some jumping jacks. So let me do some push-ups really fast.
Talk while I'm doing this, and yes, this is very goofy, and you're not going to be necessarily doing this around your coworkers, even though they might think it's goofy, and honestly, they might know who you are, but you're like, hey, I'm a biohacker, and I just want to do some push-ups. See, I just did 20 push-ups really fast right there.
I might be goofy around your coworkers, but, you know, again, who gives a damn what they think? Just get the blood pumping. Do some jumping jacks. Where I used to teach at, I would have the kids, and of course it was optional because, you know, you don't want kids complaining and you getting sued at the school. But when I'd walk in, I'd be like, okay, let's do pogo sticks or jumping jacks. And literally, you know, maybe a third of the class would do it, you know, the kids that didn't care about how they looked. And we would just do, you know, 30 jumping jacks just at the beginning of class, just to get out of the chairs. And this is one of the reasons why the students are so obese now, is because what do they do? They sit for 50 minutes and then walk a little, sit for 50 minutes and walk a little. And of course, the whole time they're just drinking Powerade and eating Cheetos and garbage. God, don't even get me started on the youth. It's not even their fault. It's just, that's the way they were raised and they don't know any better. And then by the time they know better, I mean, it's like when I tell the kids in my class, all the issues with all the crap, it's just, we're all going to die. I guess we're all going to die anyway, so let me just keep eating my Funyuns, my honey buns. I just want to slap it out of their hands, but not slap them, of course. Never. All right, so push-ups, planks, jumping jacks, whatever. Just, again, just tell the people around, your coworkers, or if they're not around, go to the bathroom. I mean, there was a time where I would do 500 push-ups a day, and you're like, whoa, Gregory, that's a lot. Not really. It's like doing a set of 30 every hour that you're awake, and you can roll off 30, like in what, 30 seconds, if not faster. So it's not a big deal, but I would like go to the bathroom, lock the door, boom, 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 do a set. Or sometimes I would just do a set like I know this sounds weird, guys, but like I'd be driving between San Antonio and Houston because I grew up in Houston. And I stop at the rest stop and boom, just do a roll of, you know, 50 push-ups just in the grass and then get back up and get in. Why not? It's your health. Who gives a damn what people think? Okay. When you're sitting, you can do some isometric exercises like clenching your buttocks, sitting, crunches, lifting, dorsiflexing your ankle, to use a proper medical term, moving your ankle back and forth or rotating it. These are things that we can all do when we're sitting, right? How many butt clenches can you do when you're sitting? You can do quite a lot. Now, that's not really going to burn a lot of calories, but you're doing something, right? It's all about doing something. At lunch, most of you guys have like an hour off, eat lunch in 15 minutes, and then use the rest of the time to do something active. Again, go walk around. I used to work in Houston at this place called Greenway Plaza, which was a complex of buildings, but there was a mall in the middle of it that had a movie theater and a food court. So I would, you know, eat whatever at the office, at the immigration company, and then I would just walk around the mall, walk around, just listen to music. Back then it was like a Walkman. But listen, just get around. Who says you got to sit around for an hour for lunch? Just move around, walk a little, do some push-ups too there. And if you have a little lunch group and you're like, hey guys, let's eat for 15 and go walk around. And they're like, no, I got something to do. Or, you know, they're probably on social media checking their, you know, Facebook. And just if they say no, do what Jesus says and shake the dust off your sandals and let them stew and get sick. And you go do it and listen to some relaxing music or, you know, a podcast. So shake the dust off your sandals. You know, Jesus sent out the disciples, you know, in pairs of two. And he said, go visit all these towns. And if they don't accept you, shake the dust off your sandals. So again, I mean, don't fall into peer pressure. If people don't want to walk, go walk alone. I mean, there's great beauty in being independent, not having to be around people all the time. If you do work at home, or if you are an owner of a business, seriously consider purchasing a walking treadmill desk. I mean, they're awesome. You can buy them at Amazon. There's tons of YouTube videos on them, and literally you can set it at the speed you want. I mean, most people put them pretty slow, and that way you're just walking, but you can still be on the phone and typing and all these things, and by the end of the day, you've walked, you know, 10 miles for all you know. So those are all easy biohacks. Just move, jump, move, jump. Move the body, shock the body. Move the body, shock the body. Okay, that's my phrase. I came up with that. So don't steal that. Move the body, which means constant movement, and then shock the body. Do some push-ups. Go into a sauna. Do some cryotherapy. Do some hard lifting. All right, this is probably 4. Do some deep breathing exercises. There were a lot of studies that came out back in the 90s demonstrating that if you took deep breaths, it would speed up your metabolism. The science behind it now is kind of questioned, but again, it's one of those things where it doesn't hurt, so why not do it? You know, deep breathing is great for meditation and mindfulness and lowering the cortisol in your body and just helping with just stabilizing your mood. So the best way to do it, or at least the way I do it, is just you take in a real deep breath. And I like to stand up and use my hands, and I kind of move my hands in a counterclockwise motion and just hold it in as long as you can. I try to do at least a minute and just do 10 of those, and you just feel so good. And again, it's a lot more oxygen coming inside to your cells, and so you have better cellular respiration and everything works optimally. Now, if you've heard of the 5-7-6, that's a type of breathing, which is actually a good sleeping biohack, which I'll mention in the next podcast I do on hardcore insomnia, where some people say that you can fall asleep like in 5 minutes if you do 5-7-6 breaths. So 5-7-6 breaths are 5 seconds to breathe in through your nose, of course, and then 7 seconds to hold it, and then 6 seconds to exhale. So 5 to hold it, 5 to breathe in, 7 to hold it, 6 to exhale. So that might work for more meditation, but just deep breathing, try to hold it as long as you can. Another thing you can do, which is a great biohack, and I've already mentioned this, is drink coffee and or the colored teas. Numerous studies show that drinking tea speeds up your metabolism and leads to fat burning. What I remember, what I understand, there's a super antioxidant called ECGC, which sounds like, what was the name of the punk rock band, the punk rock club in New York, CBGBs? CBGBs, that's for Blondie and the Sex Pistols and all those guys got their start. But this is ECGC. It's an antioxidant that's found in tea that helps speed up your metabolism. So I think on average, the Japanese drink something like 4 cups of green tea, probably matcha tea, a day. So they're drinking it all the time. I try to drink one when I wake up, and I drink one during my third period class. And then I try not to drink it too late because, you know, I got sometimes insomnia issues and I don't want to have too much caffeine in me. But even though, you know, colored teas have a very small amount of tea compared to coffee, I have mentioned to you before that I don't drink coffee because it overstimulates me. But coffee is another great appetite suppressant, and it speeds up your metabolism. Everyone metabolizes coffee differently. Some people can drink it late and not have a problem. I mean, some people can jug down like 6 5-hour energies and be fine, whereas other people drink 2 and they drop dead and die. This is why they've been trying to get 5-hour energy off the market for some time. But you probably already know, since you've drank coffee in your life, how much coffee you can drink and what threshold do you have. But it is good for you, and it does speed up your metabolism. So just kind of see, you know, if you feel jittery, don't drink it too late. With both of them, though, drink the coffee black, or just, you know, flavor it very lightly with erythritol, xylitol, stevia, or put in some, you know, do it bulletproof, put in some MCT oil or coconut oil or butter. Tea, unflavored, is ideal. I would drink both organic, because I think I've mentioned in previous podcasts how the teas are pesticide-laden. So try to drink them organic, but 3 or 4 cups a day would work. Okay, so now we're near the end of the day. So we started the day with a morning walk. Let's end it with an evening walk. Okay, studies show that people who take evening walks sleep better. That's a nice little biohack. As I mentioned in the previous podcast, it gives the body some cues to release melatonin, which is our sleeping hormone, but also it just kind of settles the body. A couple of moments of quiescence or quietude where you can kind of review the day and just calm down. It really helps. 15-20 minute walk is all you need. I mean, if you want to take 2-minute walks at night, that's fine. You don't need to be running at night. It freaks me out when I'm driving home like at 9 or 10 o'clock and I see people running at 10 p.m. And the first thing that comes to my mind, and I could be wrong, And I don't know why I think this, because if they're running at 8 a.m., I wouldn't think this, or even at noon. But when I see people running at 10 o'clock, to me, it's total red flags that they have an eating disorder. Because why else would you be running at 10 o'clock? There's no reason. I mean, there's several studies that show that exercising and doing a lot of cardio late at night, and not even late at night, like after 6, 7 o'clock or later, inhibits your sleep. It actually makes you sleep worse. Now, of course, there's always exceptions to the rule. There's some people that can sleep well right after they run. But as a whole, it's not good for you. It doesn't help with your sleep. And sleeping is crucial. So it just strikes me as weird. More weird than seeing like people working out on a Friday night at 7 o'clock at a gym, because I think maybe they just don't have any plans. But to see people running at 10 p.m. at night, just it's odd. It's bizarre. And if any of you are like that, I don't mean to call you out. It's just my opinion. I just think it's weird. It's just very peculiar. But going back to the walk, a couple of easy double biohacks is if it's cold outside, wear less apparel, because the body, when cold, is going to ratchet up your metabolism to keep you warm. So you're going to be doing a little shivering. So you'll get to burn some calories and you'll ratchet up your metabolism. It's the same kind of principle behind cryotherapy or the freezing chambers, which are really big right now. Got to shock that body with it really cold or really hot. So do that. Walk around with less apparel. And then unlike maybe in the morning when you're listening to the music, something relaxing, something like Norah Jones would be good, or maybe a relaxing podcast. Don't listen to like, I don't know, NPR talk about, I don't know, something horrible or get you all ratcheted up, like talking about the Trump administration if you're a liberal, or you want to hear about something, some horrible war that's going on, like in Afghanistan, or we're going to increase troop amounts in Afghanistan, or Donald Trump's going to do that. So my point is, like, don't listen to anything that's going to rile you up. So something funny, like I like listening to comic podcasts at night, or something on soccer, or something from The Ringer, something like that, some pop culture stuff. So those are some things. Probably the biggest thing, though, is fast. Intermittent fasting, 24-hour day fast, whatever you want to do. Fasting, in my opinion and from my experience, is the easiest and most effective way, not only to speed up your metabolism, but to lose weight. Fasting is incredible. And I'm going to have a podcast on fasting. I have a two-series article on it on the website. Oh, and by the way, Kate's been working on the website. It's great. We got our little Twitter feed on the right side, which is really sweet. Good job, Kate, if you're listening to this. Good job on that. But to make it very brief, and I'd rather you just read the article or wait until I do a podcast on it, but what the body does is we like to use glucose. The body uses glucose for energy. But when glucose runs out, either from fasting, or typically from fasting, or you're on a ketogenic or very high-fat diet, the body's got to look for something to convert into glucose. And so what it does is it goes to your fat reserve and taps into that and turns it into essentially glucose in the form of ketosis or ketones. And so it'll burn that. So if any of you are trying to lose weight relatively fast, shorten your eating window to whatever, 1 o'clock to 7 o'clock. I'm recording this at 5 o'clock and I have not eaten today. And if any of you have ever done fasting, it's like you're like Bradley Cooper from the movie Limitless. Your mind is on a higher level. It's like you're thinking on a different level. You can almost like see through walls. It's incredible. Now, at the beginning, fasting, your body has to get adapted to it. And you're going to have those sugar crashes and whatnot. But once you get fasted, adapted, you do not have any hunger pangs in the morning, depending on what your eating window is. Some people like to do like an 8 a.m. to 2 p.m., but I'm not big on that. In the morning or whenever you're fasting, your mind is like on overdrive, guys. It's hard to explain. It's just, your mind is just on a kick arse state, and you're just thinking on just a high level. Not to mention your exercises, your workout routines, your cardio are just on a peak level. So fasting is definitely a way to go. And as I mentioned, I haven't eaten since probably 8 o'clock last night, and I have no hunger pangs. I'm on 21 hour. Typically, during a school day, and today's a Tuesday, my lunch is around 1 o'clock. So my eating window will be like 1 to 8. So seven hour eating window. So what, 17 hours of fasting. But today I was like, I had some dairy yesterday. They got my tummy all sick, which I shouldn't have had. I should know better, of course. I had some dairy and I was like, ugh. So I decided I'm just going to extend my fast. So probably what I'll do is I'll eat from like 5:30 to 8:30 today. and just get all my calories through then, or as many as I can get, and work that way. So fasting's great. So do it. But I'll talk about that another time. Some other minor biohacks that you might know about and we can talk about later, but high vitamin D levels, there's a nice correlation between the amount of vitamin D and obesity and your metabolism. So it's really important that you get a lot of vitamin D, preferably from the sun. But if you're not getting it from the sun, then take vitamin D pills. Another podcast there, guys, on supplements, how it's completely unregulated. So when you're taking a 5,000 IU pill of vitamin D, it might not even be 5,000 IU, it might be like 500. But the higher, the better, honestly. And you do want to spend a little money on the better ingredients. But again, maybe that's another podcast to talk about vitamin D pills, because that is one of the pills I take. I only take three. I take C, D, and magnesium. That's all I take. Hydration, that helps with speeding up your metabolism. And then sleep, guys. Sleep is so important on your metabolism and keeping your weight off. Several studies show that if you're sleep deprived, you have a much higher chance of being obese. Going back to vitamin D, if you're low in vitamin D, there's a correlation between low vitamin D levels and obesity. Not to say that everyone that has high vitamin D levels is not obese, but there's a correlation there, not necessarily maybe a causation. So these are just some nice little biohacks to keep your blood pumping throughout the day, mixed with little beverages that are known to speed up your metabolism. As I mentioned, I've been doing these since the 90s, since CNC Music Factory and Vanilla Ice and D-Light were all big. Groove is in the high. How do you say to gorgeous? How do you say to groovy? How do you say? Anyways. Yeah, so back in the 90s when fashion was horrible and music probably wasn't that good, including grunge, not a big fan of the grunge. So these are things I've been doing for a long time and they work, okay? They work. They work, they work, they work. The only thing I would say about working out, and I'm not saying that you shouldn't be doing cardio or you shouldn't be working out, just be careful that not to overeat after a workout. It is common. It is very, very common to overeat after an exercise. And one of them is because you're dehydrated. And so dehydration masquerades as hunger pangs. And also it's this idea that, well, I've worked out, so I guess I can go get a gigantic burger. And then you offset all the gains that you made. So just be careful with that. So there's some studies even showing that it's better not to work out. If you're looking at weight loss, working out every day, calorie in, calorie out, you know, working out and then eating crap is not the ideal way to lose it. Weight loss and weight maintenance is about 70% diet, and I'd say about 20% exercise, and then 10% biohacking, like I mentioned. So it is possible to lose weight without exercising, so long as you're moving around and doing a lot of these easy biohacks. It's all about moving the body, guys. Moving the body, mixing with some shocking of the body. So that's all I have to say today. Move the body, shock the body. Go down, do some push-ups or some planks. Again, you don't have to do perfect push-ups. It can be on your knees. Just move the body, guys. It'll work. It'll work. So until next time, check out my website. Keep listening to my podcast. Please post a review. That'd be fantastic. Say your prayers and try to eat as well as you can. Okay? But nobody's perfect. Take care, guys. Bye-bye.
Thanks for listening to Naturopathic Earth Radio. Visit us at www.naturopathicearth.com, follow us on Twitter at Naturopath Earth, and subscribe to us on iTunes. Don't forget to leave a review. And remember our core belief at naturopathicearth.com. Let food be thy medicine, let nature be thy healer. See you next time. Music courtesy of Art of Escapism.